Welcome to the Living Savior Church, and I think the very first thing we want to start out today, I think my wife wants to tell all of you thank you for what you did and what happened at the Christ Haven thing. We had a great Christmas for all those kids. So let me see if I got that turned on. Yes, I do. There you are. Okay, we're on. Okay, we're waiting on Dave. He said to give him a second. He's going to get things online here for some pictures. I think you're going to get to see a few of the pictures of what all happened. Who knows? Looks like a lot of files, doesn't it? Yeah.
Okay. We're starting now.
Okay.
Okay, these are some of the children at Christ Haven for Children. Brandy's on the bottom there. Brandy was there since she's 4 years old. You can go ahead now. And you see all the wrappers. Eldon and Nancy helped out. See some of the presents being wrapped. Kim and Precious and Shelley Westridge and Ann Peck and Kristen Phil, all the staff, Rosemary, Kathy, Sharon. I don't know if Dave and Ayesha wrapped any. Did y'all wrap any? No. But everybody else, oh, this is our house. You could barely get through the house because of, this was just for Christ Haven. We also did Open Arms Home and Adopt a Family, which was domestic violence. And then there's the truck picking up all the presents. They brought actually four vehicles to get all the presents. And we filled up three of them. And that's, Eldon was supervising. And then there's going to be a picture of all the guys that helped load everything up. Oh, there's Thurman. He helped load up, too.
I even got in there and helped load.
Okay, and this is at Little Pete's. Christie's restaurant is over to the left, and they're unloading, and we were outside, and everybody was helping getting all the presents in. Oh, there they're all in. I'm showing you the presents. And then the kids came, and they had dinner, buffet dinner, and then we had Santa Claus come on a yacht, and so they got all excited about that. And this is our sixth annual benefit. I got a new Santa Claus hat. Now, this is Caleb. He's 5 days old. He's a foster baby that just got left, brought over there and left. There's Brandy again there on the left. There's Chloe and I think that's Brandon. A lot of the kids there, they, you know, right before they started having dinner. And so we had a really, really blessed day. They certainly got blessed. They were so excited. And a lot of these girls, that's Nicole and Rachel and Rebecca. And those are two new little girls, Ashley May and Ashley Rose. And that's my daughter, Christy, with Santa at Scroggins. And that's Ashley May. She was new. She came up to me and she said, "I've never been here before. I'm so excited." You know, she was very excited that day. There's Caleb again. And this lady, Shay was her name. She called me on Friday because we were had a newspaper article that came out on the front page of the News Connection, and she said, "I just read the article, and I'm going to bring my family out, and we want to help." So she went and bought some gifts and some gift cards and brought those that day. Of course, her family enjoyed it. They had dinner, and they got to meet Santa. So it was really a great day, but I wanted to thank everybody for all the money and all the time and the effort that everybody put in. We ended up, our first year when we started this, the reason we started it was because of Thurman. Oh, this is Lynette. You know, Lynette and Keith got married last week right here. Okay, well, I told him, I said, "You know, that's perfect. A foster baby, new marriage." And he said, he told me, he said, "Do you know how to swim?" Okay, this is the cake, this special cake. My dad used to work at a gourmet bakery shop, and 3 years ago, of course, he passed away. And so every year they donate a cake in honor of my dad. There's Keith and Lynette and the baby. I told him we're going to save that picture for him. He was so funny. And then we all prayed, and they got to eat, and they just had a really blessed day. But anyway, the first year when we started this, Thurman had told, before I married him, he told her, oh, there's Trinity, Renee, and Krista. He had told all of us that he and Betty used to go out and take some children from Buckner's Orphanage to buy clothes for them for Christmas instead of giving each other Christmas presents. Well, I went home and talked to Christy about it and about doing something for some kids. And the next day I got a Christmas card from Christ Haven. And then this is what started it. So the first year we raised $16,000, the second year $18,000, the third year $21,000, the fourth year $35,000, and then last year we raised $60,000. And last year we included Open Arms, the domestic violence group. So we had 135 people last year. Okay, this year we had 334 children and 135 single parents that we provided Christmas for, and we raised $64,000. Praise the Lord is right. Thank you, Jesus. And so one of the interesting things is that it just seemed like the money wasn't coming in at one point, and I just had everybody at the ministry center praying with me, and then all of a sudden that day, you know, 8,000 came in, and then the next day 2,000, and the next day 2,000. It just started, you know, rolling. And it was very interesting. On Friday when I was still out shopping, Christy calls and she said, "Have you gotten the horseback riding lessons for that one girl?" And I said, "No." I didn't even know where to go to find that. She said, "Well, there's a couple here that want to donate that." I said, "Okay, praise God." That's right. And then I was going to get the very last thing was some QT gas cards for the three older girls that were in college. And as I was starting to go get them, another lady called me. And she said, "I understand you need just a few more things." And I told her yes. And so she said, "Okay, I'll go." And I told her four items, and she went to get those. And she said, "Well, now, don't you need money for six?" Oh, well, one of the things, before I get to that, one of the things is that Eldon and Nancy found a man that had bought out a Bill's department store that was closing. And he had 2,500 items, and brand new items. And like some of the shirts were $98 and the skirts were $55. Anyway, he gave some of it to us, and then he sold everything to me for 50 cents a piece. So praise God, we're going to get all of that.
Amen.
Praise and they're going to give. Christ Haven's going to take it first and go through it. It's women's clothing, and so the junior high and high school kids can get whatever, and then they're going to pass it on to Open Arms to all the women over there. So they're all going to be blessed. But anyway, back to the lady. She said, "Don't you need Six Flags tickets?" And I said, "Well, yes, I do, because one of the things Christ Haven cannot do is anything during the year." She said, "Everybody forgets about them after Christmas." And so having the last 2 years, we've bought them season passes to Six Flags. And I've had the money to do that. Well, this year, because I had a surprise on Thursday that a corporation was that had said they'd provide all the stuff for the first six kids, did not provide everything. And it was just something that happened. So I had to take some of the money I already had and go on and finish the shopping, as well as the $12.50 that I'm going to pay for the clothes. So I'm kind of, that's the end of it. And so this lady, she said, "Well, what did you pay for the Six Flags tickets?" I said, "Well, I paid $47 a piece." And she said, "Well, my corporation paid $32 a piece." So she said, "Let me see what I can do." So we're believing that God is going to provide through her corporation the 63 tickets we need.
Amen.
At $32 a piece.
Amen.
But if you'd like to contribute to that, we'd love you for doing that too. But I just want to thank everybody for and for blessing the children. They had a great day, and they just, Amy, the child advocate, told me, she said they talk about this all year. This is the event of their life. Because,
amen,
she said, just like Brandy, the one that was dropped off there when she was four and now she's 18, she has never even experienced a Christmas morning. And this Christmas, she's going to be staying with Amy and her folks to be able to run downstairs and open presents in your pajama and have a blessed day. And she said, "Well, didn't your grandparents ever do anything for you?" And she said, "Well, no, they just took me to Luby's." So it's like, you know, a lot of these kids haven't experienced anything. That's Amber, and that's Chris. He's into music. There was one little girl, Kiera, who's been there for some time, ever since we've been there, for the last 6 years. She's 12, and she was going home for Christmas tomorrow. And her parents called. They were in prison. They both just got out and gotten back together. So the oldest daughter has gone home to them. But now Kiera's going home for a visit. And they said, they called yesterday and said, "Don't let her come unless she brings food." So they went to the food pantry. There's Kim. And got, that's Janice that owns the restaurant with Christy. So they got some food for Kiera. She said, "We always send food with the children so that they will be able to eat. But this particular parent, you know, wanted to be sure." Or she couldn't come home. She either had to bring food or she could not come home. So they live a different kind of life. But again, thank you for blessing them. They had a great day. That's Lindsay. She's graduating from high school, fixing to go to college, going to be a dental hygienist. And, you know, she's been there ever since we've been there. So thank you for blessing them. It was a beautiful day, and others on he, she was helping all the kids get all their stuff together. And thank you for all the staff and all the everybody that just poured out their hearts. It was a great day. That's Spencer, and he's been there all along too. And that's Cheyenne. She was one of the ones last year that we couldn't take picture of. But and those homemade dolls, and Lady Janet Wages out in Abilene made everybody homemade all year long. She crocheted and she made homemade dolls and afghans and delivered them. Drove all the way here from Abilene to deliver that. That was a work of love, and they really, really enjoyed those. So praise God for everybody that helped, that gave money, that gave time, and just poured out your love. You know, we thank you so much. That's Lynette. She helped wait on the tables. And there's Lori and Joseph. They came out and helped. And Phil and Trinity Renee. But there's the dolls again. That's Jennifer. It's Amber. Well, that's Amber again in the front. But they just had a good day. And there's me and Christy. And I think there's even a picture of me with my mom in there. But thank you so much again. Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, now then we'll switch over to the scriptures. We're going to talk about the word. Praise the Lord. It is something to think about what a group of people that are Christians can do. I am grateful that I'm on the giving end instead of the receiving end. Now, as you see that, you can easily understand when the king says it's better to be able to give than to receive. You're more blessed. Well, I'm telling you, I really love going in my house and knowing that I can open the refrigerator and there's something to eat. You know, I'm looking in to see, well, let's see, what do I want today? Do I want something off of this shelf or this or... what do I want instead of walking in and not having a house, much less a refrigerator, and then not no food in it? Because some of these people, especially these women, they didn't have anything. I mean, not anything. Some of them didn't even have clothes on their back. I mean, just barely clothes on their back. In fact, those 2,500 pieces of clothing that Cheryl bought for $1,250, you know, that's going to provide clothing for a lot of people. And I think, you know, that a whole store was sold out. And, of course, Elton and Nancy's the one that got all that together. And then Cheryl was able to buy that entire stock of 2,500 items of clothing for $1,250. 50 cents a piece. Isn't that something? You know, what God can do. You know, I mean, what God can do, there's... if there's anything we need to realize, that in this day and age, you and I, as sons and daughters of God, if we'll just be obedient and serve Him, there's nothing impossible with our God. Nothing. I mean, He is real, He is compassionate, and the majority of the world does not know the King. And it is mine and your job to be an example. Now, yesterday, I will have to say that Eldon and I yesterday had the longest shopping spree I've ever been on in my life, and he told me this is the biggest shopping spree I've ever been on, but he and I were buying things for this building. We were down at Home Depot, and I had gotten a gift card that was a 10% discount, and so I went in last week to buy something, and it said you could use it to the 31st of December. Well, I understood it. It said it expires December the 31st. So I said, okay. So I bought $175 worth of stuff, and I give it to the guy, and he checked it out and gave me a 10% discount, and then he kept my card. I said, oh, I want my card back. He said, no, 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 you only get to use that card one time. Oh, I said, one time? I said, well, then ring it all up at normal price. I've got a little $10 off here over $50. Let me give that to you for this. That'll only make a $7 difference, and then let me have my card back. And so he had to re-ring everything, and then he didn't reassign my card. He didn't show that, it still showed I used it, is what I'm trying to say. So yesterday, Elder and I went, we made a list the night before, and we went down to buy all kinds of stuff, you know, I mean, plumbing stuff, you name it, pipe, all kinds of stuff. In fact, we bought $5,300 worth of stuff yesterday at Home Depot. And when we started to check out, we had cart after cart after cart after cart. You know, and so when it took us an hour to check out. Now, when they got us checked out, I give him the card. I said, I'll tell you in advance, I got a 10% discount. And the guy looked at it and he said, okay, and he rang it up and she had to call the manager and the manager said, you've already used it. I said, no, I didn't. I said, yeah, I did use it the other day, but then they, you know, I told them the situation. They said, well, the guy didn't ring it back up saying that you didn't use it. So they had to call the big manager over and he had to give us approval. And of course, as they did that, they did all that. And then we didn't get a $500 discount. We only got a $200 discount because it only went to $2,000. Now, I didn't know that, see. But at least we got the maximum. We got the maximum. But that first carload of stuff, all over that store for 5 hours, we was asking different people, where is this? Where's this? The guy said, it's on aisle 6 or whatever. And you say, praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. May Jesus bless you. You know, and so me and Eldon, we didn't realize what we was doing for 5 hours in that store. But when we got ready to check out, I had my first cart of stuff, and a guy standing in front of me, he checked out, and as he started to leave, he said, sir, I got to tell you something. I said, what's that, sir? He said, I've been around in here for a couple of hours myself getting stuff, and he said, I've never seen two men as bold with the Word of God as you and that man right over there. He said, you two guys, y'all have talked about Jesus all over this store today. He said, I've heard you guys everywhere. I said, well, that's what we do. He said, well, I am not where you want or where you guys are, but I'm getting there rapidly. He said, I want to be bold with Jesus as you guys are. I said, well, sir, we know the Lord. He said, well, the scripture says, and obviously he had read it because it said over there, I think it's in the book of Daniel. It says, those that really know the Lord are bold as lions. And I thought, boy, do we really know the Lord. We're bold as lions. Now, if you don't know him, you can't be bold with him. But when you really know him, you can be bold with God. Because you know he's your king. And you know he loves you. And you know what he come to do. And we know that he's already come to this earth. And so many people today don't know our King like we know our King. But we want everybody to know Him like we know Him. We love to see the King. I mean, every time I'd look up, Eldon would be, I'd say, Eldon, come help me do this. And I'm looking over here and he's got two ladies over here talking to him about Jesus. And I said, okay, no problem. I'll do this by myself. You know, and in a little while he comes, you need some help. I said, not now. And then in a little while, we were over there doing something. He turned around and get me to help him. I'm over there sharing Jesus with some guys. So, I mean, we was talking. In 5 hours, we done a lot of shopping. We bought a lot of stuff. But we talked to a lot of people about Jesus, didn't we, Eldon? I mean, we had a great time. And, I mean, it's amazing. And, of course, as they checked us out, we had all these complications. You know, so they had ring. You can imagine how many items is in $5,300. I mean, a lot of them. I mean, a lot of them. And then after they got this list, you know, it's this long. They got this list when they found out that we did have the right card. They were going to give us the 10% credit. They had to cancel everything in the computer and rehand ring it up. I mean, this girl here, she's punching in numbers. I mean, this whole list, every number has to be added, put in, and re-ring. So we had a whole staff of people around us. And, boy, we're talking about Jesus. We're sharing Jesus with all these people. Boy, when we left, everybody there knows Jesus. I mean, it's amazing. But this is, somebody said, I got tickled that one guy said, you know, you guys need to be careful. You might offend somebody, what you're talking about. I said, praise God. I said, if they get offended, they need to come to know Jesus like we know him. They won't be offended with Jesus. I said, praise God. Anybody's offended with Jesus? I said, this is what Christmas is all about. This is about the King. This is about Jesus. I said, so if you're offended at Jesus, I said, then you need to leave America and go somewhere where they won't be offended with Jesus. You know, go back to Iraq or Iran or Japan or wherever. But if you're offended with Jesus, that's what this nation was based on. That's what we were founded on. And we love Jesus in this place. And I am sick and tired of people that won't stand bold for their King out in the workplace. I mean, we need to stand for the King. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And I praise Him and love Him and worship Him, don't you? What a mighty God we serve. When I think about what He has blessed us with, He's given us salvation and give it to us free. You didn't have to do nothing for it except believe. You know, and it's free. It's a free gift. He give you healing, and you didn't have to do nothing except obey Him and believe His Word. And it's a free gift for every one of us that will believe. Now, we're trying our best to get people to believe that. We can't even get people to believe that Jesus is a Savior. I mean, there's so many people. You talk to them about Jesus. Oh, I don't know about that. You know, I'm not sure I want to talk. I'm an atheist. No, you ain't no atheist. You know, you just know that if there really is a God, and then you're going to be accountable for sin, there's some things you're doing you're going to have to change, and you don't want to change your lifestyle, so you're just going to hide Him on the back burner. Well, let me tell you, He's real, isn't He? He is the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And I'm telling you, and He come 2,000 years ago to give us the things, and we're going to talk about this magnificent season of Christmas. You know, don't tell me happy holidays. You know, you say happy holidays, say praise God, this ain't a happy holiday, this is Jesus, this is Christmas. I'm not, well, welcome, I mean, don't you believe in God? Oh yeah, I believe in God, but His name's Jesus Christ, He's the Messiah, He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. So, if you don't know about Jesus, if you follow me and Eldon around a little while, you're going to hear about Jesus. I mean, you may be even in the aisle next over. But I mean, me and Eldon talk loud enough. He's way down yonder. And somebody said, hey, I'm looking for something. You know where he's at? I said, ask that guy right there. He said, well, it's right down here, three aisles over. I said, praise the Lord, sir. Thank you. You know, that's the way we talked in that store yesterday all the day long. 5 hours. They was hearing us three and four aisles over. Somebody, who is that guy over saying, praise the Lord? And they said, his name's Jesus. We don't give you no interpretation on who God is. Well, yeah, do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, I believe in God. I'm a Muslim. That's not the same God I believe in. I believe in Jesus Christ, my King. I don't believe in Muhammad. I believe in Jesus. I mean, we're supposed to be on fire for this King, right? This is the King we serve. Well, He paid an awesome price for you and me so we can be here. And I love serving this King. So now that we're going to start out, we're just going to hit three of the dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of mighty scriptures that talked about His coming. We're going to start out in Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14, hundreds of years before the King came, over 700 years before He came, this is a sign. He's talking about one of the signs. He says, this is one of the things the King is going to give us. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. They were looking for a sign. If you read that whole chapter of 7, you'll find out they were looking for a sign and they couldn't think of nothing that they wanted. Well, the Lord said, I'll give you a sign. And He told us, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin. Now, this is not something that only God can do, because we've never seen a woman have a baby that was a virgin. It ain't never happened in history. You know, women can be a virgin, and every one of you should be a virgin until you get married. And then you shouldn't be a virgin no more. You know, that's supposed to go away. You're supposed to be a woman dedicated to one husband forever, and you're to never be defiled by another man. You're to love your husband, and you're to love him and serve him all of your life, as long as God keeps you alive. But it said here, a virgin shall conceive, and she's going to bear a son, and she'll call his name Emmanuel. This is one of the signs. Then let's go to Isaiah 9:2-7. Isaiah 9:2-7. And let's look at this wonderful sign. The people that walketh in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. In other words, the people that walk in darkness. In other words, this right here in this scripture, it says, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Do you know that we as sons and daughters of God are supposed to be living within that government right now? That's ours. By faith. This is a kingdom of faith. When you receive this king by faith, you step over into a new government. And he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's the one that you and I, as sons and daughters of God, that's who we're supposed to be serving. We're not supposed to be serving somebody else out here. We're supposed to be serving the King. I mean, he came 2,000 years ago. He dwelt on this earth for 33 years, and then he died and went back to heaven. He died and then arose and walked on the earth for 40 more days, and then he ascended bodily. And this is the first time and the last time so far that this has ever happened, that people have literally seen a physical resurrection, not only of the King of Kings, but the Old Testament saints, that was those that were walking in obedience to him and believing his coming. After his resurrection, they arose from the dead. That's written in Matthew 27. But as Jesus, as those Old Testament saints arose from the dead, can you imagine people that knew Simeon, you know, and they saw him? He was one of the priests in the temple, and they saw him, old man. And when Jesus was born, and he saw and he pronounced the prophecy upon the Son of God as a baby, he said, "Now then, I'm ready to die in peace." And he did, and he died. And people knew him for years. But then 33 years later, some of those people were still alive. And they saw him walking down the street. Simeon. Or, "You look just like a guy I knew 33 years ago." "I don't look just like him, I'm him." "Frank, what? You know me?" "Yes. Praise the Lord. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Man, you ought to see the place I was down in the center of the earth in paradise in that air-conditioned comfort. And man, them flames over there on the other side. There were some people over there screaming and hollering, and they wanted me to come over there and help them, but the Lord wouldn't let me. There's people down there in pain and suffering. But for some strange reason, here I am walking around back in the streets of Jerusalem again." And he did that for 40 days, along with many, many, many others of people. And then at the time, when the time came, the king went out on the mountain and called his men forth and said, "Now I'm going to bless you guys because I'm going back to heaven. You guys will follow me sometime. But you know, I'm the first fruits. Now I'm going back to heaven and I'm going to take all these Old Testament saints with me." So whenever he blessed them and raised his hands and started rising and ascending into the clouds, all over Jerusalem, all those other Old Testament saints began to rise with him. And he took them back to heaven with him. That was the first visible sign of the resurrection. Now, how's the devil going to cover this up? This is going to be tough, isn't it? Thousands of people saw this with their own eyes. They saw Jesus ascending and rising and taking those Old Testament saints with them. How would you like to have been there that day? Maybe you was out in the graveyard. Maybe your grandmother or your grandfather had died and you're out visiting his grave or her grave, and all of a sudden she comes right through the ground. The dirt opens up and she grabs you and says, "Oh, son or daughter, it's so wonderful to see you." Wow, can you imagine what that would do to you? Or in those 40 days, where do you think those people went that was raised from the dead? Of course they went to see their families. I'm alive. I'm here. I've been in paradise. Praise God. But now then Jesus, He died and paid the price, and He come down and He preached the gospel to us, and He told us all about this. And then when, after His resurrection, after 3 days, all the Old Testament tombs were opened, and the Old Testament saints that had been looking forward to the coming of the King, they were raised from the dead. Isn't that wonderful that that's written in the Scripture for us? That that happened before. You know that's going to happen again someday. The King's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ is going to rise first. Wow. And then those which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And there we shall ever be with the Lord. But I think about, since Jesus was raptured, I call that rapture as He went back to the third heaven. Do you know every Christian that's died since that day has had their own personal rapture? Do you know that when you die? I think about Miss Maida Pennington that lived right up here in Justin. Just for, she used to come to the Baptist church. I went up there every Sunday for years. A sweet little lady. She was 80-something years old, just a little bitty slim lady. And she, you know, was, you know, really up in years, and 80-something years old. Of course, when I get 80 or 90, I'll say, well, she was a young woman. See, because I'm getting close there myself. But I can still see Miss Maida coming to church in that little red dress with steps about that long, walking down there. And then I can remember that Wednesday at Bible, I mean at prayer meeting, when Benny Craver was the pastor there. He said, I've got to tell y'all what I experienced today. He said, I went over, I thought I'll go over and visit Miss Maida a little while. She was in the hospital and she was comatose, and she had been for a day or two. And all of a sudden, she just kind of fell out. She was doing real good till just all of a sudden. And they took her to the hospital. And so he went to visit her that evening. And he said, when I got there, she was comatose, sleeping or something, but she wasn't conscious. So he said, I was just sitting there reading a book. Just kind of sitting in her room. Now then, she'd had a son. His name was John. And he died about age 60-something. And all of a sudden, Benny said, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, Miss Maida woke up. She turned and looked to the left just as quick and said, she looked right by me, didn't see me at all. Looked right over there, and she says, John, that's you. That was her son that died a few years ago. John, that's you. And said, John, that's Jesus with you. And she, great big smile come across her face, and she reached up to take his hand, and she gripped that little hand, and then her physical hand fell, and she was gone. Benny Craver was trembling that night at church. He said, Jesus was in the room with me. I said, He's in the room with us every day, whether you know it or not. But some of us don't act like it. Some of us don't talk like it. But Eldon and I knew the King was with us yesterday. So we were talking about Him, and we wanted to glorify Him. If there's anything, when we ask people, do you know Jesus? Some of them say, yeah, I know Jesus. I've got to where, after what Dave told me the other day, out of the Scriptures in Matthew 7, how many times have I read that, but it didn't really soak in. When Jesus says, they said, Lord, we cast out devils in Your name. He said, I know, but I didn't know You. Into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So my next statement is, I want to make sure that the King of the universe knows my name. Yes, I know about Him, but I want to make sure He knows me. Oh, that's the boy that's always talking about me. Everywhere he goes, he's talking about me and how wonderful I am. Yes, I know my son and I know him well. That's the way I want the King to know me. Don't you, Eldon? We don't care if they say we know Jesus. The question now is, but does Jesus know your name? Does He know you? And they say, well, I hope so. Well, I mean, that's not the right answer. You know, you need to get in the Word and worship and praise the King. Because this child is born, a son is given, and that He, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. We're in that government right now today. So we need to make that work for us. We need to realize that we're sons and daughters of God. We can walk with every need met. We can walk with our healing. We can walk with everything. But He commands us to walk in obedience to His Word. When we do, all the blessings are ours. And He never says no to those that are walking in obedience to His Word. Those that believe. But it's unfortunate we don't believe very well. Then Micah 5:2. Let's go to Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, when you read that verse right in the middle of the fifth, or right, actually it's the second verse, but when you're reading chapter 3 and 4 and 5, when you get to this, you would read right over that and you'd think, what does he mean? All of a sudden, right out of the middle of that, he says, but Bethlehem, though you be a little bitty city among all the thousands of cities in Judah, out of you shall he come. Who? From unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. A ruler's going to be born there? Whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. That don't make no sense. This guy, how's he going to come if he's been from everlasting? Who is he talking about? I mean, that don't compute in our computer. That's like my little daughter, Amanda. One of the things that used to bother her the worst when we studied the Word, Daddy, where did God come from? I said, honey, God has forever been. And He'll forever be. No, Daddy, everything has a beginning. You know, God had to come back somewhere, and He had to have a beginning point. But He didn't. Now, that takes faith, doesn't it? That takes faith. Everything you and I know had a beginning point. You had a beginning point. You had one. I had one. All of us can go back and say, well, yes. Let's go back and say, December the 30th, 1938, I had a beginning point. Somebody said, no, that's not true. That's not true. I said, that's when I was born. Oh, no, no. But 9 months before that, you were conceived in your mother's womb. That was your beginning point. And then somebody said, no, that's not true either. You know, the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, your children are already in your body. So where did we start? Hey, somewhere way back yonder. We don't understand all this, do we? We really don't understand this. In other words, there is a little egg that's in a mother's... When a little girl is born, every egg in her body is in there when she's born. They're not generated when she gets to be 13. They're there when she's born. And she will carry all of those, and when she gets to a certain age, she'll start dispensing those one at a time. Now, if that egg she dispenses one at a time, once a month, is fertilized from a man, then it'll produce a child. But that's a potential child in that little girl when she's born. She has a potential in her to maybe birth hundreds of children. But they're already all there. So where did the beginning, where did it start? We really don't know where we started, do we? And in the spirit world, since God says He sends the spirits from heaven, maybe your spirit was created with Him eons ago. Maybe you have been forever. But whenever He decided to make you a man or a woman and a physical being, He sent a little spirit from heaven down to go inside of you. You ever stop to think about those kind of things? That's kind of a little beyond the normal way of thinking, isn't it? But see, with God, He goes a way beyond us, doesn't He? So that's why that these three, just three of the sets of scriptures we've covered, He could make these statements hundreds of years in advance and know He was going to be right. And then these things happen. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 1, start verse 18. Matthew 1:18, and let's see the fulfillment of some of these things that we saw here in Isaiah and Micah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now, isn't that strange? 14, 14, and 14. You talk about a God of numbers. You know, there's some of us that are engineers by trade, and engineers dwell on numbers. You know that? We don't make good English majors, but we do make good numbers majors, because that's the way God made us. One day we were driving down the road, or one day somebody was driving down the road and said, "I'm looking for your place." He said, "I just left 35. I'm on 407, and I'm coming down the road." I said, "When you come to those white brick columns on the left side, on the straight line, there's 18, and then there's a gate, and then there's 18 more." And I said, "Then you'll come down about a couple hundred yards, and you turn to the right." And the person listened, 18 white brick columns? I said, "Yeah." "How do you know that?" I said, "I count them." "And then there's two more that go into the V, you know, on each side. So that really there's 20 on each side, if you want them." But I said, "I didn't figure they was going to count those, so I just give them the 18 on this side, then the driveway, and 18 more." But that's exactly how many they are. And if you don't believe that, you count them when you start to leave today. You will find out I'm right. Somebody says, "Do you do that?" Yeah. Let me ask you this question. Anybody in here ever drove down the road in your car and counting stripes on the highway? Most people said, "I ain't never done that, man." I've done that lots of times. I go from a certain point and I say, "You know, it's 3,256 little white lines between here and a certain place." I used to do that. Numbers. They get good grief. Well, see, I'm a numbers person. That's the way God made me, you know. That's just like he made Gerald to go out, and you talk about a shopper. That girl with everybody else that went out with her, I mean, she is the mad shopper. I mean, she runs through these stores and buying this and this and this. And I mean, when you go through a place, I think she said she spent somewhere between $13,000 and $15,000 just at Kohl's. Kohl's must love her this year. She's become a lady that everybody in Kohl's knows. When she walks in the aisle, walks in there and says, "Oh, there's that woman that's going to buy a bunch of stuff." Just like the other night, she got out there and started to check out at 12 o'clock. And the guy said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, it's after midnight. I can't check you out. I got to be back in the morning at 7. She said, "Call the manager." The manager came up. She said, "Oh, sure, no problem. We'll check you out. Absolutely." She spent thousands of dollars. The manager had no problem staying there with her checking her out, because she spent thousands of dollars in that store. But she is like a mad woman when she's shopping. I mean, she's just buying stuff, throwing it in them carts. She's getting with it. But God put that gift in her. It's like she said, when I told years ago, I told them at church that day, I said, "You know, this year for Christmas, don't be a normal Christmas person. Don't go out and take your credit card and buy things with money that you don't have to give to people that don't want it." I said, "Do something for somebody in need." I said, lots of people go out and buy stuff for all their family, 2, 3, 4, 5 gifts to impress them. And then when you turn off, they say, "Well, I didn't want that anyway. I didn't need it." You know. And I'll just have to say, I am one of those kind of people. Don't buy me a gift for Christmas. I don't want it. You know what? If I buy something for myself, I know what I want, and I go by what I want, and I always get what I want, and then I don't have to worry about taking it back. But don't buy stuff for me, because if you buy something for me, you don't know what size I want, what color I want, or whatever I want. So just save your money. Just tell me you love me. That's all I need. I don't need nothing else for Christmas. Jesus has already given me the only gift I need. You know, so I don't believe in going out and spending a lot of money like some people do. Some people will go out and buy a whole bunch of gifts for a whole bunch of people, put it on their credit card, and then take them 6 months to get it paid off. And the people they bought it for didn't like it. And if you don't believe it, you go down there the day after Christmas and find out what the return lines are like. They're going to be plumb out the door. So, I understand that. So, that's why I say, hey, I'm not a Christmas buyer. You know, Cheryl is. She's a Christmas buyer. But I told her, you know, I said, buy something for someone that has a need. And so she did. She went out and started buying for these kids. And she has blessed the socks off of those children. Of course, she does it with your money. You know, those of you that give, You know, so the other day she told me, she said a lady called and said she's going to wire money into the bank account. And she said, I need that money. I said, okay, good. So I called the bank, looked at the bank account on the computer. No, it ain't there. I called the bank. I said, is that money there yet? And they said, no, it's not there yet. I said, okay. The girl at the bank said, if when it comes in, we'll call you. I said, okay. So the next day she called me. And she said, it's here. So I said, okay. So I went in and looked at the computer. And one person had wired $6,000 for her to buy a Christmas gift. $6,000. He said, hey, I mean, has God got plenty of money? He got all the money in the world. He knows who's got the money. He's just like Moses, you know. God, I mean, you couldn't kill ever fish in the sea and feed all these people meat by tomorrow. God says, Moses, you think my arm's getting short or what's wrong with you? My arm's still long. It reaches out there. I can do all things. Are we glad? So that's how he provided her $64,000 this year to buy Christmas for 500 and something people. But I'll tell you what, I think we had four truckloads of stuff go out of this ministry center from here that many people, you know, wrapped. I mean, there was people out here wrapping day and night. I have never seen anything like it, but it's all happened. So now then, verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This was the event that all these prophecies, and there's many more of them that we're talking about, but it says, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost. Now that's not exactly, if you're engaged to a woman that you ain't never had sex with, and she says she's a pure virgin, and you find out she's pregnant, most people don't believe that she ain't been to bed with somebody. You know that? Have a hard time with that. And Joseph had a hard time with that. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, in other words, he's not a man that run around. He didn't go out to the bars and hang out and have sex with women he didn't know. He was a just man. And he's not willing to make her a public example. He wasn't going to, you know, throw her out and say, you know, you old prostitute, you. He wasn't going to do that to her. He said, but not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away privately. But, you know, because he thought, hey, I can't marry this girl. She's supposed to be a virgin. I ain't never been married. I'm a virgin. She's supposed to be a virgin, and I'm not going to marry a woman that I know that's not a virgin because she's already pregnant. But while, and there was Mary could say, but I ain't never been with a man. He said, yeah, okay, I'm sure, okay. You know, and he sees this thing, you know, yeah, okay, you and okay. I can believe that, you know, when you think like a man. I mean, you know that she's been with somebody, right? I mean, it just don't happen. Girls don't get pregnant drinking water. You know, they have sex. That's how they get pregnant. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord. How would you like to be the angel of the Lord? In other words, an angel of the Lord would be something else. But to be the angel of the Lord, that's a special angel. Wow. Now, he talked about this guy several times in the Scripture. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now, can an angel appear to you in a dream? Absolutely. They can talk to you while you're asleep. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, what can the Holy Ghost do? Ain't nothing impossible with the Holy Ghost. Next verse. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Wow. The King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Did we read that a while ago? Yeah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Well, that's exactly what God told him. He's going to give him a sign to do that. Now then, since he only said that about 700 years before this happened, what do you think the chances are that this one prophecy would come to pass if it wasn't from God? What do you think the chances are? Are you making a prediction that's going to come to pass exactly 700 years into the future? You think you could make that kind of a prediction? Give me a break. And there's people that don't believe. You know, but now, this book is full of these kind of predictions about the king. So I don't understand people how they can not get this. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him as his wife. He took Mary. Okay. Then verse 25, and knew her not. He took her to wife, but he did not have a sexual relationship with her, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you may or may not agree with me with. But I'm going to tell you, since he was faithful, and she carried that baby full term, and she bore that baby, after her cycle was complete, I'm going to guarantee you, with the mercy of God, that the first time Joseph slept with his wife as a man and a wife, she was a virgin. She was still a virgin, although she had bore a son. He'd come out of her womb. But God had fixed her and made her back. And that first night that they went to bed together, she bled like any other virgin would. I know God did that for them. I just know He did. Because Joseph was obedient. He obeyed the Lord. And he did not know that woman, although she was his wife. He could have went to bed with her, but he didn't. I'm telling you, most young people, when they get married, it's very difficult to not have a sexual relationship when you're married. It's obviously pretty hard for some of them when they're not married. You know, they do a lot of things they're not supposed to. But he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now then, let's go to chapter 2. Verses 1 and on. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. How many wise men was there? We don't know. How many do you hear them talk about all the time? Three. We hear, oh, the three wise men. No, there was not three wise men. I'm going to tell you there was not three wise men. And I'm going to show you why as we get on down here. There came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. Next verses. When Herod, which was the king, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now let me tell you, three little guys or wise men, three little wise men didn't ride in on three little camels and cause an entire stir with the king, Herod, and all of Jerusalem. You know, three men coming into town. Now, if three men rode in three nice Corvettes or something over here in Justin, people just kind of, okay, no big deal. But if we had a group of people come in army tanks, and there was 300 of them, and they had 200 armored cars, hey, it would cause a stir in all of Justin. You know that? What is going on? Well, it just happens to be these men come to visit the new king, and they've got some wonderful gifts of gold and myrrh and aloe and all these wonderful things. Oh, gold? You reckon maybe we ought to try to rob them? Somebody looks out there and says, you out of your mind? Look at all them tanks. Look at all them armored cars. Look at all them troops with guns. You going to tell me you're going to mess with those boys? Well, I think that's the way it was. I think when those wise men rode in, they rode in on their camels. I think they rode in with their armored men. I think they had their men with spears and swords on their horseback. I think there was a tremendous group of men that was coming along, coming to Jerusalem with these wise men. We don't know how many wise men there was. There might have been 30 or 40 of these guys. We don't know. But they did bring three gifts. But these men came in power. They came in numbers. They came in riding their camels and their horses. And I can see those men riding in now, the front guard and the rear guard and all these others, these men with their spears and with their swords on their hips and everything else. They come to protect those wise men. This was not a little thing. You know, it took me years to see this in the scripture. Finally, one day I thought, you know, three kings, you know, three wise men rode in with three gifts, and they rode up, and three men on three camels, and they got gold? No. You know, the Middle East, if you've ever been over there, you don't ride around over there with gold. If you do, you might get killed. Even today. You know, so it's not a very good place. And I don't think those people have changed much in the last 2,000 years, technically speaking. I've been over there, so I really don't think they've changed much. But when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ was going to be born. Now, Herod wanted to know. I mean, this has caused a stir in Jerusalem. These guys said the king of Israel is going to be born. He was born, and I want to know where he's at. Herod was a real nice guy. Really nice guy. Now, we'll see in a minute how nice he was. Verse 5 and 6. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Did we read one of those while ago in prophets? Said he, out of you, Bethlehem, is going to come this king, this ruler. The government's going to be upon his shoulders. He's going to be king of kings and lord of lords and god of gods. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. So they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophets. And the prophets back in those days, if you were wrong, what did they do with you? They killed you. So now then, I've had, you know, recently, this last year, I have had many prophecies spoken either over me, about me, or to me, or sent on an email about what's going to happen to this nation. And you know what? As of to this day, none of them virtually have come to pass. None of them. So I put very little confidence in a prophet. I mean, I'm sorry, but it says, let them prophesy according to faith. And I don't think there's many of them out there that has very much faith. So they're just speaking. Because if what they're saying is true, it should start coming to pass. And maybe it will someday. I don't know. But I am definitely not going to base my life around what a prophet tells me today. Do what, Tom? That's right. That prophecy was 700 years later. That's right. Yeah. So if it happens 700 years later, then I don't have to sweat it anyway, right? I won't be here. None of the people, that prophet or none of the people that's heard him, none of them got to see this come to pass either, did they? But he was right. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. This governor is ruling us today. We're his sons and daughters, and he's in control, and he's supposed to be ruling us. We're supposed to be yielding to him, and he is supposed to be our Lord and our God, our governor, and our administrator, and everything. Verse 7 and 8. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. I mean, he wants to know about where this little child's at. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, now the prophets say they're going to be born in Bethlehem. And when did this happen? And they told him. So he said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Oh, the king would be a liar? You think the king over that would lie? Do we have any kings or rulers today that lie? Unfortunately, we do, don't we? I don't put a whole lot of faith in what I hear people say. That's why I quit watching television, but I did get an email the other day, and I was watching. Somebody said, watch this, you'll enjoy it. So I pulled it up, and it was that YouTube or whatever it is, you know, and a little short clip of the presidential candidates the other day with some commentator. I don't know what his name is. I used to see him on television, but I don't remember what his name is. But he pointed right straight at this guy, which I didn't know before, Mike Huckabee. Now, I'd never heard of Mike Huckabee, but pointed right straight at him and says, I didn't know that Mike Huckabee is a Baptist preacher. But if you didn't know that, I understand now Mike Huckabee is a Baptist preacher. They ask him a question. Do you believe in God? And do you believe God created the earth in 6 days? He said, I most definitely believe in God. And I believe He made the heavens and the earth. Whether He made them in 6 physical 24-hour days or not, I don't know. But they're here, and He made them. And he said, I will not change this statement for nobody. I thought, hey, that's my kind of guy. When I go to vote, let me find out about this guy. And then we got this guy, I forget what his name, Obama or something. Obama or what, or y'all, if you watch television, you know who I'm talking about. This guy says he's a Christian. But he is the first senator that was sworn in and wanted to be sworn in on the Quran, not the Bible. I'm not going to be sworn in on the Bible. You're going to swear me on the Quran. And now then you tell me you're a Christian and you want to be president of this country? Hey, if you're stupid enough to vote for him, you got less brains than I thought you had. And I hope that statement goes out all over the world. Everybody needs to know that we don't vote for a Muslim for president in the United States of America. We vote for a man that believes in Jesus, the King of Kings. Otherwise, you want this nation to be destroyed? Just go ahead and vote for one of them other critters if you want to. But if you want this nation to be blessed, you're going to have to find a man that's going to be a man of God that'll believe and be as bold standing on that platform as I am in this pulpit about Jesus. We find a man like that, we find a man that's going to cause all kinds of problems in this country. But it's time we had some problems in this country. I'll tell you, we've had problems running out our ears, as far as I'm concerned, the last 20 years. Don't you think? And it's all because we will not serve the living God. You know, we vote for presidents and put them in that don't even believe in Jesus. What a bunch of Christians we are. The Christians in America, if just the Christians would vote for men of God that are true Christians, we could put anybody in office we wanted in there. But the Christians don't even know who to vote for. It's a shame. But the governor that we're serving is our king. His name is Jesus. And if anybody wants to know what this holiday season's about, don't call it a holiday season. Say it's Christmas, and it's representing the birthday of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and His name is Jesus Christ. And somebody said, was He a Jew? Yes, He was a Jew, the greatest Jew that ever lived. But that was Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Him. Learn something about Him. And He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. A lie right out of the pit of hell. Verse 9 and 10. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. They didn't need Herod to tell them this. All they had to do was just pray and ask God. He would lead them. Now he is doing it, but he had a plan. And they saw it, and it went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, a lot of people will tell you today that was not a real star. That was, you know, a figment of their imagination or whatever. I'm going to tell you, God could hang a star 500 feet in the air if he wants to. I mean, he could put a bright light up there. He could put that thing and it looked like a star twinkling and everything else. He could have hung a sign out there and said, wise men, this way, boys. You know, he could do anything. If you don't realize that's the God we serve, hey, nothing's impossible with God. But he put that star up there. I can see that star. And probably the star was jumping around. Maybe an angel up there said, hey, come on, boys. Come on, follow this star. Oh, they said, that's it right there. You know, I mean, no telling what they really saw, but we know they saw the star and they was led by this thing. So Don't put a limitation on God. He's the big boy. He can do anything. So it went before them and it came and it stood over where the young child was. And I can just see it now, the star bowing down. Did you know the stars bow down to the king? There's that little tiny child in there, and that star says, boys, he's right in there. I'm going to bow down before him. He is my creator. If that was a real star, who made that star? That little king laying in there. Jesus made that star. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When you and I see or come to know Jesus, we ought to be joyful. We ought to have exceeding joy. We ought to be praising and worshiping the king. You know, don't be an old sourpuss. You know, when you go out shopping or whatever you're going to do, somebody says, walk in, somebody says, boy, you look like you're not having a good day today. Don't never let nobody say that to you. When you walk in, if there's anybody in the world who's got a smile on their face, it ought to be you as a Christian. I mean, you ought to be smiling all the time. And you ought to be laughing and talking about Jesus. And when they say, what's wrong with you? You say, praise God, I know Jesus. Do you know him? And they said, well, no. I said, well, let me tell you about him. I know who he is. If you want to see the king do great and wonderful things for you, then you need to make sure you're not ashamed of the king. Now then, verse 11 and 12. And when they were come into the house. Now, wait a minute. Now, he was born in a what? In a manger. He ain't in the manger no more. No, so this wasn't the next day when Jesus was born and when these boys showed up. This was a little while down. Now then, he's gotten a little bigger. The Joseph found out that he's going to have to get a place to live. And now they got a house. So, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. The young child. It wasn't a baby anymore. He might have been running around. The little young child. They saw him with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Now, you know, it might do all of us a little good if we could humble ourselves and fall on our knees and worship the king. Somebody said, well, I could never walk around in Home Depot and talk about Jesus like that. I say, hey, if it took it, I'd fall down on my knees over there and worship the king. I don't care what you think about me. I ain't interested in what you think. I only want to please one, and that's him. Somebody said, you're stupid. Hey, that's okay. I'm stupid for Jesus. That's the only thing I care about, ain't you, Eldon? Praise the king. We love the king. We love it when the king shows up for our prayers. It's like that guy wrote me an email the other day. He said, you know, I've kept up with your ministry the last 3 or 4 years. He said, I've listened to a lot of your teaching. He said, there's some things you teach I don't agree with. But he said, it's obvious God must be pretty happy with most of the things you're preaching. Because he said, I ain't never seen a ministry in my life that gets as many answers to prayer as your team does. Hey, so who is it that answers our prayers? The king, Jesus. So if we're not pleasing the king, guess what he doesn't do? He doesn't answer our prayers. If we please the king, he answers our prayers. And I want my prayers answered. Don't you, JC? Amen. Amen. So we want to please the king. I said, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, their treasures. I mean, they had treasures, plural. They presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh. Just think. They presented, I believe, with all my heart, enough gold to Joseph and Mary to sustain them for years into the future. I mean, Joseph didn't have to worry about working. He did. But he didn't have to worry about where his next meal was coming from. He was provided for abundantly by these wise men from the East. And being warned of God in a dream. Now, God speaks to these guys too, doesn't he? He'll speak to you too if you'll listen. He'll talk to you. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now then, let's see what happened. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Not only did God warn these guys and tell them to go another way and not go back to Jerusalem, but to go another way, which they obeyed, then that angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream again. And he's talking to him, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Now see, he knows this is supposedly a new king. Well, he's a king. We don't want this guy to take over. He wants to be king. You know, and so it's amazing when a guy that's that old thinks that I'm going to live forever, I'm going to be king forever, so if I kill the young generation, be no problem, I'll be king forever. How stupid can you be? When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed into Egypt. So see, when God comes to you and tells you to do something, what should you do? You do it. That's exactly right. When the Lord tells you, how many times in my life has God told me to do something like that? Of course, one of the simplest ones, here a while back, I've told some of you, I was ministered to a person here till way past time, and I was speaking over in Garland that night, and I looked at my watch, kept thinking, man, I got to get out of here. But I had to meet these people's needs. I finally got their needs met and prayed for them, and then I told them, I got to go. So I jumped in my car with my stuff, and I'm running down 407 here, and I turned down 35E over there, and I'm going down the road, and I said, Lord, the only way I know to get to this place I'm going in Garland is go all the way down to 635, go way up 635, and then go back up to that place. I said, Lord, if the traffic's any, I said, I'm not going to make it. I said, what do I need to do? And it's as clear as a bell. He said, take the George Bush. I said, Lord, I don't know where the George Bush goes. Hey, it shouldn't have made any difference. Don't you think the king knows where the George Bush goes? Don't you think he knows? But I didn't. So I'm doubting. And I said, Lord, I don't know where the George Bush goes. I should have said, oh, when he said, take the George Bush, I should have said, oh, okay. But, you know, ye of little faith. You know, that's if I could ever get to the point where I can just trust the king, oh, what I might be able to do in the name of Jesus. But I'm going down. I said, Lord, I don't know where that goes. And boy, I'm rapidly approaching the George Bush. And I'm already to the double line, you know, where I said, Lord, I don't know where that goes. He said, take the George Bush. Okay, Lord. So I go across. I look right, put nobody over there. I don't go across the double lines. And I get up on it. And I get right up on the tip top of that thing. And I look back and I said, Lord, I sure hope you know where this thing goes. Oh, you of little faith. Can't you just imagine how merciful God is to us? We have no faith. You know, we can't trust him. When he talks, we ought to say, oh, thank you, Jesus. He should have never had told me but one time. Take the George Bush. I should have said, wow, okay, Lord, I'm just obeying you. But how dumb we are. I guess I should say me. So anyway, I'm driving down to George Bush. Never been on it before in my life. Come down to it. And it's just been opened right there. And the rest of it wasn't open. It's all open now, I guess. But I'm driving down that road. I come to one of them toll booths. I got to stop and give them 75 cents. Okay. Stop and give them 75 cents. I drive, seemed like a couple of miles up there, and had to stop and give them 75 more cents. I drive a couple more miles, had to stop and give them 75 more cents. Okay, this is three times, Lord. This is $2 and a quarter this has cost me, Lord. I sure hope you know where you're going. And I asked the guy in the little booth, I said, sir, do you know where Highway 190 is? He said, this is 190. I said, oh, this is Highway 190. He said, yeah, the George Bush is 190. I said, oh. I said, well, do you know where a certain intersection is? He said, it's the next intersection on the right. I said, is that? I said, well, the place I'm speaking is right there at that intersection. I looked at my watch. I said, hey, I got plenty of time. I went running up there, exited off and looked, and there was the building where I was supposed to speak. I went over there, walked inside, and I thought, I got 15 minutes. No problem. Now then, why, when God speaks to us, why can't we be obedient like Joseph? Sends an angel. You need to take the baby and his mother, Mary, and you need to go to Egypt. Do you think Joseph argued with God like I did? No, I don't think he did. I think he was smarter than me. I think when the king told him what to do, he just said, okay, Lord, we're going. Let me get my stuff packed up. Now, when God tells us to do something, is that what we should do? Yes, we should be willing to listen because He's our governor. He's our king. He's our Lord. And He's the King of kings, and He knows everything. And when He tells you to do something, don't you think He should know what He's doing? When He tells you you're healed, don't you think you should believe Him? But many of the times we don't. We don't. Oh, yes, I believe Him, but I got to go have that surgery anyway. How many times have I heard that? Oh, my lands. Over and over and over and over. Okay, verses 15 and 16. And was there until the death of Herod. Now, see, this guy died. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Well, see, all this was in God's plan, because in one of the other prophecies, he said, out of Egypt I called my son. Well, if Herod hadn't have done this, you know. Now, of course, one of the things that it's talked about in the scriptures when we'll see this. We'll go a little further. It says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and killed all the children that was in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Can you imagine a man being so ruthless that he would send a band of soldiers over to the, not only to the little town of Bethlehem, but to all up and down the coast, to go into every house and pull every little child that even looks like they're 2 years old or under and rip them out of mother's arms and cut their heads off or slay them, kill them? Can you imagine a man being that ruthless? I can't even go there. I can't even think like that. Can you? No. That tells you one thing about Herod. He was totally controlled by the devil. Because the devil is the only thing that has no love and no compassion in him. So it's obvious Herod was totally, completely controlled by the devil. And the devil didn't like it. Can you imagine all these little children we got in here today that's under 2 years of age? I mean, you know, some of them might be three, but, you know, I can't tell the difference, can you? Between a two-year-old and a three-year-old, a lot of times they look the same to me. Maybe even a four might be a little bit smaller than the next one. Have you seen children that were two bigger than a three-year-old? Sure. Do you think these guards, they cared? No. They went over there, and if they even looked like a young child, they ripped them out of the mother's arms and killed them, stomped them, run them down with horses. What a brutal day. I can't even think like that. But that's what he did, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Verses 17 and 18. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying. Now, and this is a prophecy we didn't read. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamenting and weeping, and a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are no more. How many mothers do you think lost their babies up and down that coast and in the city of Bethlehem? No telling. Many of them. Can you imagine that night or for the next few days, how many mothers, when they would see each other, would fall on each other's arms, when they'd walk up and see another mother and knowing you had a year and a half old yesterday or last week and I had one, and they were trying to comfort each other because both of them's babies are dead. The devil's a ruthless critter, isn't he? He's a ruthless critter, so don't ever think he's not. He doesn't play games. Don't you dare give the devil a quarter of an inch input into your life, because if you do, he'll take a foot. Don't even yield to sin, because if you do, it'll open the door to that devil. And then he'll come in and he'll do exactly what he did to all these women's babies. Kill them. It's just like I was preaching down in a little town in Central Texas here a few years ago. And this Baptist preacher invited me to speak in his Baptist church. And I talked about the devil and his demons. And of course, after church was over, he came out and he said, Thurman, I can't go there with you on the devil and those demons. He said, you know, the devil wouldn't. He said, I have a little, I think, two-year-old. He said, you know, even the devil would have enough compassion, he couldn't kill that two-year-old child. I said, that's where you've missed it. The devil has no compassion and no love. He's totally stealing, killing, and destroying. He has no compassion. I said, therefore, when God's rules are broken, he just goes and gets you. It was kind of like a highway patrol out here on the highway. You know, he don't have the love of God in him either. He just, this is the way it is. So you're driving on a freeway out here, which is 65. You're driving 68. Man, he comes after you and he said, you know, my radar said you were driving 68. Well, yeah, I did have maybe 67 or 68. He said, you broke the law, 3 miles an hour. It's going to be 100. I'm going to give you a ticket, $100 fine. But sir, can't you be? He said, nope, that's the law. The law says 65. It does not say 68. Somebody said, well, you ought to have a little compassion. He said, no, I don't have no compassion. You broke the law. Here's your ticket. Now, can he do that to you?
Yeah.
Sure he can. Now, how could you keep a guy like that off of your back? Drive 65 or under, right? What if he stopped you and you were driving 66? You think, my goodness. He said, you were driving 66. Okay, it was a needle width past 65. I'll agree. Or you might say, I don't agree. I was right on 65. He said, I have a radar. It's perfect, and it's set up and adjusted regularly. It says you were driving 66. I'm writing you a ticket. Now, you're either going to have to prove that, you're going to have to go to court, or you're going to pay that fine. You know that? But if you're driving exactly 65, and how many people do you know that only fudge 2 or 3 miles, maybe 5 miles an hour, thinking on the mercy of the police? And most policemen are merciful. Well, okay, he's only driving 5 miles over. I'll follow him. And you look back and you see him. Oh, let me get that cruise control down to 65. Then you're praying, oh, God, please help me. He said, you should have been obeying my law all the time. You know, and you drive along there and you're sweating. He follows you for 2 miles and then he turns around and goes back. You say, okay. And as soon as he goes out of sight, what do? Right back up to 70. You didn't learn nothing. You didn't learn nothing. And so then when you do get stopped, who is it that screams the loudest? Us. But you were breaking the law, were you not? Sure, you don't have to do that. Okay, verse 19 and 20. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Obviously a different angel. Saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Remember, Herod's dead. You can go back. So he picks up the child and they start back. And he arose and he took the young child and his mother and he came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Now again, all this was a plan. God, who's in control of everything? God. We need to get a hold of that. I really need to get a hold of God is in control of everything on this earth and nothing is done accidentally. Verse 23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now these are more and more prophecies. Think about all the prophecies that come to pass for Jesus to come where he was. And people say, I don't believe in him. It's obvious they haven't read the book. I think about this lawyer. How many of you know this good lawyer called Josh McDowell? Any of you ever heard of Josh McDowell? Well, if you hadn't, you'd missed a blessing. He's a great man of God. But he was a young man at home, and he had been raised up in a Christian home, but nothing in the power of God's Word. So when he got ready to go to college, you know, okay, now I'm out from under mom and dad's apron strings. I'll go to college, and I'll do what I want to do. You know, I'm bigger and better things. Now, I don't have time for church. But he's going to, I forget, Harvard or Yale or wherever it was, he's going to school to be a lawyer. And he run into a group of young people up there that really knew Jesus. And they told him, you know, just come to our Bible study. Oh, no, I was raised up in a Christian home at home, but I'm beyond that stuff now. I don't need that no more. And, you know, just don't need that. They said, well, Jesus never became real to you then. Yeah, he said, I know what you mean, but I don't need him. I mean, who knows whether he's real or not? Oh, they said, you're going to be a lawyer? We're going to be lawyers. Let's meet again in a year. We will provide our proof that he is real, and you provide your defense that he's not real. He said, hey, this will be good practice. Great practice. So he began to research. When he wasn't studying for law, he began to research certain books and get all the evidence he could find about everything. And at the end of that year, he came up with a book about this thick called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Anybody ever read that book? I have. Praise God. You have too, huh, Benjamin? Let me tell you, at the end of that year, there was no doubt in Josh McDowell's mind that God was real. And that Jesus was real, and that Jesus was the King of kings and Lord of lords. And from that day forth, I have no idea how many colleges and universities that Josh McDowell has stood in and proclaimed the truth of God's word to our young college students, unashamed that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's a great man of God. Great man of God. He's done great things for the kingdom. And, of course, over the years of study, he's written a second book called, again, That More Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And it's about that thick, too. So if there's anybody that's done the research to prove beyond a shadow of doubt that Jesus is real and the book is real, Josh McDowell, one of the finest lawyers in the country, has done that. Now then, let's go to chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now we got this king, he's born, he's growing. Now then, all these years have come by. And now then, this little guy, in other words, Elizabeth, she was an old woman, way beyond the ability to have a baby. And her husband, he had prayed for a baby. And the angel appeared to him in the temple when he was in there and said, your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a baby. And he says, how can this be? I mean, I'm past that stage and my wife's past that stage. She's an old woman. And the angel said, because you don't believe, you won't be able to talk. Amazing. But look what John the Baptist says when he come on the scene. John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea saying, repent. Now, what is the first command for the kingdom of God? Repent. I mean, when I was up in the Northeast, Cheryl and I was up there speaking to a group of ladies mostly. And this group of ladies, one of them asked me a question. She said, sir, I don't see where you get this repent for your sins. Nowhere in the Bible does it say repent and be healed. I said, ma'am, one of us is reading a different book. I said, the book I read, everywhere I read, the first message, the forerunner of John of Jesus, which was John the Baptist, he only had one message. Repent. Repent, repent, repent. That's all he had. That's all he preached. He didn't say nothing else. Repent. And because of his teaching repentance, what happened? It cost him his life. And saying, repent, repent ye. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verses 3 and 4. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Another prophecy that was spoken about things that were going to happen, about this coming of John the Baptist. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now the wild honey I might handle. But eating them locusts, I ain't too sure I would like that. Ooh, you know, a locust reminds me of a June bug. You know, and them critters, they got real strong legs. You know, and they're really strong. They climb on you. I can only imagine putting one of them little critters in my mouth with them little legs working like it. Bite down on him, and he's trying to get out. I'll pull him apart first, right, Joseph? Pull the legs off first, then throw him in there. Oh, goodness. But John the Baptist, this is what he had to eat out there in the wilderness. I mean, first of all, his raiment was of camel's hair. Well, that's not too bad, I guess. And a leather girdle about his loin, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Whew! Like I say, I love that wild honey, but not that locust. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Who all went out? Everybody did. They heard about this guy. So God called them all. It didn't just a few people come to church. The whole country went out to the wilderness to hear John. And then he says, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Well, see, the people were baptized, confessing their sins, getting ready for the king to walk on the scene and start healing them. That's what they were doing. A lot of people never see this. But that's why Jesus called John the Baptist into the scene, to get people to repent, confess their sins, and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And then when the king walked on the scene, he could walk into this lady and say, oh, you confessed all those sins you committed, didn't you? And he says, be healed, woman. And the woman would be healed. Praise the king. You know, and I mean, people were getting healed everywhere. But it was after they repented and were baptized for the remission of their sins. Now, 7 and 8. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, uh-oh, now here's these baptists. I'm going to step up here. I can just see these guys now standing up on the shoulder. Look at them hypocrites. Who do they think they are? Can't you see them Pharisees and Sadducees looking down on them guys? Huh. Turn my nose up at them people. Wow. But John had a nice word for them. Oh, you generation of vipers. Ooh, surely a preacher wouldn't preach like that. But this one did. Oh, you generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who has warned you to flee? You mean there's going to be a wrath to come if we don't repent? Yes, there's going to be. God's going to be angry, and he's going to pour out his judgment upon you. Woo! Bring forth, therefore, fruits fit for repentance. Remember, do things that are right, verses 9 and 10. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. I'm somebody. I'm a child of Abraham. You know, God, he is my father because he was Abraham's father. So I'm a child of God. Oh, he said, you worthless vipers. He said, God can reach down on them little rocks on the ground. He can speak to that rock and that rock become a living human being. Now, do you think John the Baptist knew a little bit about God and what he could do? Yes, he knew who the king was. And he says, and this next one's kind of scary. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Now, who's the trees? We are. They call us trees. And the axe is drawn back to cut down the tree, which is us. Therefore, every tree, which, how many trees?
Every
tree which bringeth not, what kind of fruit?
Good fruit
is cut down and cast into the fire. Ooh, that's scary. You know, the average person reads that, they don't no more believe that than you can fly without wings. You know, they don't believe that. I mean, church, who needs to go to church? Who needs to read the Bible? You know, who needs to go out and produce fruit for the kingdom of God? Oh, phooey. Oh, I go to church once in a while, but I ain't going to go down there, you know, and I go when I want to, when it feels good. You know, I don't need Jesus, you know, no problem. Produce fruit, go out and talk to people about Jesus. No, I might offend somebody. The king says, not only here, but he said it in John 15:2. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And every branch in me that produces no fruit, I cut it off. In other words, he'll kill you. He will cut you off. Isn't that sad? I learned that one the hard way, too. I had a good friend that died that I prayed for all day, and he died anyway. And when I asked the Lord why, he told me that's why. Because he said 10 years, he produced no fruit for me for the last 10 years. So he said, I cut him off. I killed him. And then I told God, I said, God, it's that woman that he married 10 years ago. She's the one who got him out of church. And that's when he told me, he said, I didn't put that woman in charge of the home.
That's
I put him in charge of the home, and I hold him accountable. And so she was off the hook. She's still alive. Wow. Well, I guess she is. I hadn't seen her in several years now, so I'll say something there I really can't back up. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is going to be cut down. And then after it's cut down, where's it going to be thrown? Into heaven? Into the fire. I don't want to go to the fire. Do you? Absolutely not. Okay, next couple of verses. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Are we grateful for that mighty Holy Ghost that's come? This season that we're worshiping the coming of the King. You got to get over this nonsense. He's not the babe in the manger no more. We might worship him as a little king, as a little child, but he was only a baby one time. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So don't be ashamed of him. Praise him and worship him. Now it says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up to chaff with unquenchable fire. A loving, kind Jesus. Oh, I understand you've done all these bad things wrong. I know you said you come over to my kingdom, you're going to walk with me. And I know that you only walked with me for about 6 months. And then you've turned your back on me for the last 30 years. And you've not done anything for me. You've went out and lied and stole and beat up on people and cheated and done everything else. And you know what I'm fixing to do to you? I'm fixing to cut your tree down. I'm going to cast you into the lake of fire. But I was saved, Lord, 30 years ago. Yeah, I realized, Lord, I hadn't been in the book. I hadn't studied. You know, you hardly ever hear a message like that in church, do you? Oh, once saved, always saved. I walked down the aisle 30 years ago, and yeah, I got saved in that little church. Yeah, I realized I hadn't served him. Hadn't been to church in the last 10 years. Never did lead anybody to Jesus. Never did read the book. Couldn't understand it anyway. So, you know, I just decided, hey, I didn't want to get married again, so I just moved in with this girl. You know, me and her have been living together ever since. You know, no problem. We only got 3 kids out of wedlock, you know. You want to know why you got troubles? I'll tell you why you got troubles. Because you've been a totally disobedient child of God. And when he came to give you grace to get saved, to forgive you of all of your past sins. But whenever this king, which came 2,000 years ago and gave you the grace, that whenever you might have been 30 years old when you heard about him, or you might have been 10, or you might have been 50, it makes no difference. But you might have been the wickedest person. Yes, you might have been living with somebody out of wedlock. You might have had children out of wedlock. You might have had abortions. You might have done everything in the world. But one day somebody told you about Jesus. And you say, Jesus? Yeah, he loves you. I mean, but he doesn't know what I've done. Oh, yes, he does. For 30 years I've lived in sin. I mean, I've heard that Christians ain't supposed to do those kind of things. That's right, Christians ain't supposed to do those kind of things. But you're not a Christian yet. You don't know him. So he provides grace to save you. So you mean if I come over into his kingdom, although I've been a murderer, an adulterer, and a liar, and a thief, and a cheat, and everything else, he'll provide me grace, and he'll forgive me of all my sins and save me? Yes. That's the grace of God. Okay then, Lord, I walk up here and I want you to forgive me. He said, all right, let me wash you in my blood and make you a new creature. I'm going to take you out of the kingdom of darkness, put you over here in the kingdom of light. Now you're a daughter or son of God. But now you're supposed to change this new daughter or new son over here in the kingdom. You're not supposed to go back out and live with that girl out of wedlock again. You're not supposed to go tell a lie tomorrow. You're not supposed to go steal tomorrow. You're supposed to go walk in the obedience to the Word of God. He said, but what if I do make a mistake? If you make one and you find out later that that's sin, you ask the Lord to forgive you and then you don't do it no more. Okay, but I heard that he has grace that I can go over here and do this if I want to. Well, you heard wrong. That's not in the Bible. He says, if I tell you that lying is sin, and then you go ahead and lie, or if I tell you that stealing is sin and I hate a thief, and then you find out that I don't like it, and then you go ahead and do it anyway, he said, now then you have willfully sinned after you have the knowledge of the truth, and there's no sacrifice for that sin left. Hebrews 10:26. You can only expect my judgment to come upon you. In other words, you mean God's going to get the belt a hold of me? Yeah, he's going to get the belt a hold of you. You may not like it. And that belt may be in the form of something devastating happening to you or your children. Or it may be in sickness and disease. And the night Cheryl read that deal to me out of Job 33, she got a hold of that. Honey, do you know that it says here that God speaks to his children over and over and they don't listen? And then he sends dreams and visions and they still don't listen. And then he sends sickness and pain into their bones. Ooh, she said, I never saw that. I said, it's in the book. Ooh, scary, isn't it? Now then, but he gave me grace. He gave me grace to save you. After that, the grace is not supposed to be there. You're not supposed to need it after you get saved. You're supposed to come out of the kingdom of darkness and come into the kingdom of light. And once you step into his kingdom, you're supposed to be a holy, pure, clean man or woman of God. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what the scripture says. Now, most people don't study the Bible enough to know that. But I can tell you for sure that's what it says. Because he says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. I don't want to be the chaff. Verses 13 and 14. Then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come thou to me? Because John knew who he was. Verse 15 and 16. But Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God. Now, what did he see? The Spirit of God. Did he see a dove? No. What did he see? The Spirit of God. How did the Spirit of God descend? Like a dove. He did not see a dove. There was not a bird, a white bird, flying around like this to come down on Jesus. It was the Holy Ghost that they saw. Now, you don't get to see the Holy Ghost very often. You know that? How many of you have ever seen physically with your eyes the Holy Ghost? I never have. But do I know He's there? Yes. How do I know He's there? Because I've asked Him to fill me. And I ask every day believing that He's there. So once I ask and believe that that Holy Spirit, which I can't see, but that they did see come and fill Jesus, and He lighted upon him, descending like a dove and lighting upon him, he was filled with that Holy Ghost. Verse 17, what does it say? And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now then, what do you want the King to say whenever He comes down to you? Hey, this is my beloved son or daughter. In you I am well pleased. And then He will say, come in, son, to all these wonderful things I have prepared for you. But if He's that pleased with you while you're on this earth, He will give you those things while you're here on this earth. He will give you physical help, and He will bless you and your children, and you will be blessed abundantly if you please the Lord, because it's a promise in His Word. It's a promise in His Word that He will bless you. Do I want to please the Lord? Yes, I want to please Him. If there's anybody in this place today that does not know that King, the King, as Lord and Savior, I would ask that if before you leave here today that you come up here and talk to either Cheryl and I or Ellen and Nancy or one of us, maybe Frank and Terry, but someone, Dave and Ayesha, talk to somebody. We know how to tell you how to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then if you have any other needs, whatever they may be today, if you need prayer for anything, we will be here to pray. Now, we are not the ones that answers your prayer. The King is. We just pray the prayer of faith. He's the one answers. So you can come up here and tell us anything you want to, but it doesn't matter. You have to be sincere with Him because He's the one that's going to save you or heal you or deliver you. We don't know unless He reveals it to us. But if you're truthful with Him and you come, you can become a child of God today. If you have a problem or a need, you can come and be truthful with Him and pour out your heart to Him, and we can pray the prayer of faith for you, and He'll meet that need. He does it all the time. We see Him answer prayers all the time. And we're going to have Tuesday night Bible study here again this coming night, Tuesday night at 7 till 9. No, I'll take that back. That's Christmas Day. I'm sorry that we're not going to have Bible study this Tuesday. Yeah, we will not have Bible study. Here a while back, I made a statement. I said, it was Christmas Day with a healing school. And I made an announcement. I will not have healing school on Christmas Day, Saturday, because nobody would come. And the guy wrote me a letter, and he said, that's not true. I don't care what day it is. You have a healing school. I'm going to be there. I said, well, okay, you're one of a few. I said, there's not many would be here. So I didn't have it. So I want to ask the Lord to bless each one of you this Christmas, this season. I ask you to be a witness to Him and for Him this season, because this thing that we're celebrating today is not about you and me. It's not about giving gifts to us. It's about giving gifts to the King, doing things for Jesus. It's His birthday. It's not my birthday. It's not your birthday. It's the King's birthday. So bless Him and give things and do great things for Him. And just like those packages that Cheryl and him gave away, Joseph and Lori were down there, but several of you might have been there. But if they looked on those packages, they probably already knew. Every one of those packages was signed from Jesus. Love Jesus. That's where they came from. And we were giving them to those children so they would be blessed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this beautiful day, for this season. Lord, we praise You and worship You that You're the mighty God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we do love You and praise You. And Lord, as people come forth to be prayed for or for whatever, we ask You to meet every need they have. And then, Lord, we ask You to bless every one of us and our children and our grandchildren and everything as we go forth in this next week, that we might be about Your business to praise You and worship You and thank You. And Lord, thank You for being our Lord, our God, our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, our provider. We're so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.